Now today, friends, in our study in the book of Psalms, we are coming to an entirely new section. Many of you will recall that at the beginning of the book of Psalms, in the introduction, I mentioned the fact that the book of Psalms can be divided like the Pentateuch, that is, the first five books of the Bible. And we have been through the Genesis section, the first 41 chapters or 41 Psalms were the Genesis section. And those were the Psalms in which you had those wonderful Psalms of creation. Psalm 8 especially, a great Psalm of creation. And then there were other great Psalms of creation that we had. And Psalm 19. And it had to do with man at the beginning, the blessed man, the last Adam, actually in Psalm 1, and then God's ultimate purpose of bringing his king to the throne. What a lovely section the first was. Now we come, beginning with Psalm 42 and going through Psalm 72, we come to the Exodus section. Now, we're going to find here, as you do in the beginning of the book of Exodus, you have God's people in a strange land, away from the land of promise. They're suffering people. The iron heel of a dictator is over them. You hear them groan and moan, and you hear the whip of the taskmaster falling upon them. They are in great trouble, and instead of decreasing, it increases. And finally, their cries and groans are heard, and the Lord arises on behalf of his suffering people. And so he makes good his covenant that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the Lord delivers them out of the land of Egypt. Now you have that in this here. These Psalms that we're coming to now, the first of them, for instance, the first seven Psalms, 42 through 48, we find the same conditions, but it hasn't anything in the world to do with the past. It looks yonder into the future, and it reveals the future experiences of the remnant of Israel. And we're going to see them, they're away from Jerusalem. They are away from the holy place. They are out of touch with Jehovah, just as they were in Egypt. And this is something you might not note ordinarily in just reading them. There is the first section, we had the emphasis upon Jehovah, the name of God. And in this section, it'll be Elohim. And why was it? Let me put it like this. We have here, in the first section, the Genesis section, Jehovah occurs 272 times. And Elohim, the name for God, only 15 times. Now, when we come here to the Exodus section, Elohim occurs 164 times, and Jehovah only 30 times. Now, why would that be? Well, Jehovah is this name of redemption and the one who keeps Israel. Well, they're away from God, you see, down yonder in the land of Egypt. And they'll be away from God in the great tribulation period, the first part of it for sure. Now, we have, therefore, quite an outline here. You have in these three opening psalms of this Exodus section, it's the time of the great tribulation. The book of Exodus opens with the children of Israel in Egypt, a Pharaoh over them. And we have in this section, the Antichrist is certainly there. And we are going to follow right on through. We see in Psalm 43 the mention of the Antichrist, and they are mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. And then we find them crying out to God to deliver them. And then deliverance comes to them. And in that 45th Psalm, we have the great millennial psalm of the Lord Jesus coming to reign on the earth, and so on. And we'll call attention to that as we go through. I think there are two things today that are quite important for God's people to see. One is that the primary and fundamental interpretation of these Psalms is applicable to the nation Israel, and it looks to the future and the time of trouble. This will be meaningful for them. And that is something I think that we need to note and need to mark down. And therefore, we need to be very careful sometimes when we lift a verse out of the Psalms, just how does it apply to us? And I think it's all applicable to us today. And I believe that in this section, many of God's children that are in trouble today can find real solace and comfort. And these Psalms, therefore, ought to be more meaningful to God's children. I believe that we need to look in this section more. Now you have in this section, therefore, the ruin and redemption of Israel, actually in the last days. And we're going to find that David doesn't write as many of the Psalms here. 19 of them he wrote, and 7 of the Psalms were written by the sons of Korah, and all of them are prophetic pictures of Israel in the last days.